Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Also on our webpage, we're taking your nominations for who should replace John Paul Stevens on the U.S. Supreme Court. If you didn't hear it this morning, the nearly 90-year-old Supreme Court justice has announced his retirement. So President Obama is going to have a chance to fill another seat on the court. And we have a form for your nomination. Some people are writing, I'm told, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Larry Tribe, Elena Kagan, Brian Litt. No, that disqualified, not a lawyer. But if you want to nominate somebody for the Supreme Court, go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. We have a form for that. And we'll take our last few minutes today to remember a quintessential New York community organizer, beloved in her neighborhood. For decades, Megan Charlap worked as a force for good in her Norwood community in the Bronx and citywide. She died on March 17th under the wheel of a city bus after swerving on her bicycle to avoid getting doored on Crotona Avenue. She was 57 and is survived by her husband and four grown children. She is remembered as an effective and tireless advocate for children and public health in her role as the director of community health at the Montefiore School Health Program. She was also a bicycle advocate, community gardener, and overall force of nature in her neighborhood. There's going to be a bike ride in her honor tomorrow, as well as what they call a ghost bike dedication. Ghost bikes are placed at various places around the city where bikers were killed. The details are on our show page. And joining us for our last few minutes today is David Appel, director of the Montefiore School Health Program, assistant professor of pediatrics at the Children's Hospital at Montefiore Medical Center, and longtime friend and colleague of Megan Charlap. Welcome to WNYC, David.
Oh, thank you.
So she was so beloved in her community, and as an organizer, she's been described as idealistic but not naive. What was it that made Megan such an effective advocate?
First of all, in my experience, there was no one who better embodied the mission and practice of community health that all of us are trying to fulfill. You know, she was a tireless advocate for health and social justice, and there was no issue that was too large for her to be intimidated or too small for her attention.
One example of her successful advocacy, I gather, along with you, is a successful campaign to get the Department of Education to replace whole milk and flavored milk with lower-fat 1% milk in school cafeterias.
That's right. The framework that she was working on was something, this was about 6 years ago, that now is more common, is that adults have to take responsibility for the food children eat, and the environments are out of control. And she started the milk campaign. She convinced two of our schools that we have school-based health centers in to try the milk, and taught the kids to drink it and like it by doing blind taste tests. It caught on. One thing Megan always did was when she floated ideas, or many ideas, she would look for that thing where people's eyes lit up, and she knew she could get, you know, momentum for it, or it caught their attention. And so she went from 1 to 12 schools and developed a nutrition coalition in the Bronx, and they served only 1% milk with low-fat chocolate milk only one day a week. At that time, the Dairy Council was trying to promote vanilla-flavored milk as regular milk. So it was very highly sweetened, had the same number of calories as whole milk, but it replaced the fat with sugar. So once it caught on 12 schools, she was able to make it Bronx-wide, and then joined a citywide coalition, convinced that group to take this on citywide. And she affected over 1 million school children now because they're drinking 1% milk.
And over the years, she's also worked on housing issues in Manhattan and the Bronx. She was a leading advocate in the effort to protect kids from lead poisoning. She was also a bicycle advocate who worked closely with transportation alternatives to push for more bike lanes and rider protections. So very ironic and tragic how she died. If you could name one other policy that could get more public spotlight in Megan Charlap's memory, anything it would be?
There are two. Megan is a big proponent that in cafeterias, in the school cafeterias in New York City, they're cooking cafeterias, not warming cafeterias, so that they can provide fresh food every day. And the second, which is was one of her long-term goals, is to enforce the state law that all schools have a usable gym and phys ed teachers, so there is real, meaningful physical education every day.
And in addition, everybody should know that there is a bike ride tomorrow in her honor starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. People are meeting in front of the Valentine Varian House in the Bainbridge Oval Park in the Bronx. There will also be a ghost bike dedication at 1:45, and that's at East Tremont and Crotona Avenues where the accident happened. If people want information on that, you can contact Transportation Alternative, and that's bike@transalt.org. As we have taken our last few minutes today to remember a particularly beloved New Yorker who got killed last month, with David Appel, director of the Montefiore School Health Program, assistant professor of pediatrics at the Children's Hospital at Montefiore Medical Center, and longtime friend and colleague of Megan Charlap. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Evergan, Paige Cowett, and Alan Smith produced this program. Our Help Wanted editor is Annie Schreffler. Our 10 Questions That Count editor is Valerie Lipinski. We had intern help today from Chuni Chian and Amanda Reisman, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Brian Lehrer.